Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at United Nations headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, education and women's empowerment are the top priorities for the UN in India. And we meet a young British man who has been inspired to fight for women's political representation after taking part in a UN-backed essay contest. But first, achieving the Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs, will not be possible without investing more in women. That's the view of UN Deputy Secretary General Amina Mohammed, who led a high-level group of women leaders to two African countries this month. Joining Ms. Mohammed in Nigeria and the Democratic Republic of the Congo were the Executive Director of UN Women, the UN Special Representative on Sexual Violence in Conflict, and the African Union's Special Envoy on Women, Peace and Security. Speaking during their first stop in Nigeria's capital, Abuja, Ms. Mohammed stated that the delegation had come to the continent to discuss the general issues of peace, security and development, with an emphasis on women's rights and empowerment.
We know that from the economy to stability and peace, we're not able to achieve our goals if we're only investing in half of the population. It is a nation and a continent's greatest asset, the human resource. Women are often half of it, but lack the investments that we need.
The 17 Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs, have been described as a to-do list for creating a world where no one is left behind. They were agreed by world leaders 2 years ago and have a deadline of 2030. Ms. Mohammed noted that the push for sustainable development had become more complex in recent years, and although SDGs such as ending extreme poverty and providing education were important, new factors had to be taken into account.
The context that we are living in is that of conflict, extremism that is within many of our countries, and in particular Nigeria. So here, what we really want to do is to hear and bring the messages of women. Women in decision-making, women who bear the brunt and carry the burden of many of the tragedies that we see, to see how we can come out of this, how we can be a constructive partner in finding the solutions to sustainable development.
The Democratic Republic of the Congo has also been plagued by conflict and other challenges, and the UN deputy chief said the delegation hoped the DRC's women will help to change the narrative. At a meeting with officials in the capital, Kinshasa, she also outlined aspirations related to the elections slated to be held before the end of the year. Ms. Mohammed said women must be part of the process.
DRC is exceptional in that it has a constitution, it has a law, but it must reinforce that law to implement the participation and parity of women. A parity of women beyond the numbers, to see them in decision-making, to see a very good opportunity for monitoring of the elections, that it is inclusive, that it is fair, that opposition itself has a place, because in every democracy, a vibrant opposition is the integrity and the hope for strengthening the foundations for democracy.
UN Deputy Secretary General Amina Mohammed speaking to reporters in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. In order to meet the challenges of the 2030 Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs, India should prioritize women's empowerment and education. That's the view of UN resident coordinator based in Delhi, Yuri Afanasyev, who was at UN headquarters for a forum to review progress made so far on the SDGs. He said that India's progress was essential for the global effort to meet the goals on ending poverty and hunger, as well as providing universal education and quality health care. Mr. Afanasyev, who is also the UN Development Programme's resident representative, told Matt Wells that India was hard at work finding scalable solutions to enormous challenges in meeting the SDGs in just 13 years' time.
Put this into perspective. I mean, for many countries, you know, a 350 million programme per year would be a lot of money. In India, it's a drop in a bucket. To think that, you know, the World Bank has a portfolio of 6 billion in India just just gives you the scale. And so whatever we do with our relatively small resources, especially for a country like India, needs to be scalable, it needs to be impactful, it needs to be focused.
So overall, from your perspective with the UN, how effective has India been so far with implementation?
People ask me, what do you think are the top three priorities for India? And I surprisingly, for them, say that it is women's empowerment and education. And they kind of raise their eyebrows. And I say, look, you know, you can talk about infrastructure, you can talk about, you know, anything else. But if you don't have those two, all the rest become impossible. I think there's a strategic challenge on water, just because of combination of human activity and climate change and where India is and the geography. That, I think, is a threat that they're increasingly focusing on very seriously. People accuse India of having jobless growth. That's not exactly correct. The problem is we can't measure what the jobs have been created because 80% of the country is in the informal sector of the economy. So very difficult to measure how many jobs that. But empirical evidence suggests that jobs have and are being created.
And you said earlier that gender equality should be a big priority. Mm. In what ways is that impacting on the SDGs and getting to these targets?
Well, look, I mean, India has a couple of indicators that are just going against the positive story. One of them is women's participation in the labor force. It's at this point 26-27%, which is actually and coming down, which is a surprise story that many people cannot explain. The second indicator that is going in the wrong direction is what we call regional disparities. Usually when countries lift out of poverty and grow that quickly economically, regions develop and harmonize and converge more quickly. It happened in China. It happened in many other countries. The government knows about them. So they are certainly there on the development agenda. Let's see how they address it. We're actually waiting for India's national development strategy. The vision for the next 15 years, which is there in draft, but not yet finalized and published and extensively consulted with the citizens.
The opportunity to deliver a speech in French on gender equality to the UN General Assembly has cemented a British student's decision to push for more women's representation in UK politics. Nicholas Bloom is among 60 students worldwide chosen as the winners of this year's Many Languages, One World multilingual essay competition, co-sponsored by the UN. I caught up with Nicholas when he and the other winners visited UN headquarters this month.
So we did a lot of research, each of us, about gender equality within our own countries. What I found was that the most pressing issue is political participation of women. I researched all the different campaigns that are trying to fight for women to take more of an active role in politics. And I've thought for a long time, even being a man, that there is a long tradition of a patriarchy in politics, of an elitist and quite chauvinistic attitude from an early age. So from universities, from gentlemen's clubs and onwards. And that sort of fosters the same type of person, white, private school, middle class men that are being ushered into politics. And I thought that was a problem, and I'd like to encourage more women from all parts of the country, doesn't matter their family background or their socioeconomic context, to really motivate themselves and give it a crack.
And you did all of this in French?
I tried to, yeah. I'm not the one to judge how well it went, but yeah, I've been learning French for a long time now, so we practiced a lot, so it was okay.
And tell me, how did you become interested in French?
I adore the language. I mean, quite simply, that is the principal reason. I've studied it for a long time. And when I really invested myself into language learning, especially in French, I started to travel around the country. I now have a wide group of friends who are French and part of my family as well. I adore the country. I adore the culture. I adore the people. I feel like I actually have a different personality when I speak French. I'm more open. I'm more confident. I'm more sociable. Lots of things. So it's great.
What will you take from this experience?
The first thing I'll take is pride. I'm proud of myself, and I don't say that often. I really am. I've worked hard for it. I've given it my best shot, and it's an amazing thing to say that you spoke at the General Assembly about a cause that you want to defend. Now I feel like I can use this as a platform to build. I'd like to work towards more representative gender equality in the United Kingdom. I'd like to engage with some of the campaigns that I defended today, like 50-50 Parliament and like Women to Win. And my dream is to become part of an international organisation that defends causes that I believe in. The United Nations is definitely one of those. In my own country, I'd love to work for the civil service or for the Foreign Office and travel the world, learn as much as I can, speak as many languages as I can, and help people. So that's sort of the dream. We'll see where we go, but I'm going to use this to build.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter under UN Radio. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn.